In Luke chapter 18, Jesus Christ is going to be speaking here. It says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God nor regard men, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" The first thing I want to look at, and I want to put this in context, this is pre-Calvary, this is a Jewish setting, he's talking to Jews. We're going to put this in context as we go along a little better. But the first thing I want to see is the court. In verse number 2, it says, "There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man." Ultimately, across the world today, there are judges. In Israel, God established judges, and he did it for a reason. There are authorities that are put in place, and there are authorities that are allowed to be in place, if you will. And a lot of them don't fear God, and they don't regard man. And that's what this judge was. He was in a sense, this judge was his own God. He had the authority. He didn't care what God thought, didn't care what man thought. He was going to make his decisions, do what made him happy. And you think, that's terrible. Could you imagine having a judge like that? Well, we probably have a lot of them. But honestly, don't you have days like that yourself? Where you just wake up one day and you say, well, I don't care what God says, what man says, I'm just going to please me. Well, that's the type of judge they had in this city, and that's the type of court that was going on. All the judgment that happens in this world is not just and righteous judgment, but it will be one day when the just and righteous judge sits on the throne of David. But the court, and then the call, in verse number 3, "And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary." She was calling out to the court. She was looking for justice. And you have to realize God himself called this judge unjust. So he wasn't concerned with justice. And I don't think a lot of judges are. Justice and equity and things that are biblically right and sound, I don't think they're concerned. He wasn't concerned with justice. And she wasn't asking for anything supernatural. She was asking for justice. She just wanted the right thing to be done. He didn't fear God. He didn't fear man. But that widow woman got to him. That widow woman got to him. And she got his attention. He was the head of the court. He was his own God. He was going to make this decision. He was going to do what pleased him. And since he was his own God, he listened to that call. And then we see the continuation in 4 and 5. "And he would not for a while, but afterward, he said within himself, Though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me." The continual call, he realized for his best, it was going to be in his best interest to do what was right. He didn't care about doing what was right. But he said, she's going to bug me until I do what's right. Can I tell you today that it's in your best interest to do what's right? Amen? You say, well, it don't always please the flesh. I'm telling you, it's in your best interest to do what's right. It's in your best interest to look the flesh in the eye and say, I am not serving you. I am going to do what's right. Amen. It would serve us all well to look in the mirror in the morning and say, I'm going to try to make you look decent today the best I can, but I know you're a scoundrel on the inside, and I'm not following you, I'm following Jesus Christ. But here's this court. She's calling out to him. And because of the continual calling, he says, look, I'm just going to do right. Isn't it funny how the Holy Spirit of God will call on you to do right, call on you to do right, call on you to do right, and sometimes you just make the decision to go against that and do wrong? Aren't you glad he keeps calling? Giving you an opportunity? You know what this lady did? She gave that guy an opportunity, that judge, to do what was right. And he did. You've got an opportunity to do what's right today. Whatever sin you're struggling with, whatever wickedness you've got in your heart, whatever bad thoughts you've got in your mind, whatever hate or despise for whoever or whatever you're carrying with you, you have the ability and you have the opportunity to just get it right with God today. Isn't that a good thing? I'm glad of that. Could you imagine if it just kept piling up? Wouldn't take but maybe 3 or 4 days, maybe sometimes maybe a week. You'd be done. If you couldn't turn it over to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me, I'm going to get under the blood and go on, it'd just pile up until you were done. But she had actually called until the judge did the right thing. Interesting to me, look at verse number 6. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Isn't that something? We see the command, hear. You know what God's telling you? Listen. Listen to what that unjust judge saith. If you're worried, you know, if you're one of those people, and I get to be that way too, you know, the rapture, they've been talking about it for years. I thought it was going to be last year. I thought it was going to be last week. I thought it was going to be yesterday. I thought it was going to be last night. I woke up again this morning. Here we are. And when is it going to happen? Hey, you know what? It is going to happen. He says here. He's telling you, hear what the unjust judge says. And in the comparison in 7a, the first part of 7, it says, and shall not God avenge His own elect? Now, I want to put this in context. When he's talking about the elect here, don't get all Calvinist goofy on me. What he's talking about is Israel. This is pre-Calvary. There's a Jewish audience. He's talking about Israel. When you see the word elect in the Bible, the vast majority of the time, he's talking about Israel. Occasionally, he's talking about Jesus Christ. And very often, or once in a while in the New Testament, you can talk about the elect and foreknowledge, and you can see a picture of practical application for the church. But when he's talking about God hearing His elect, he's hearing Israel. So what's that have to do with us? I'm telling you today, God's not through with Israel. Jesus Christ was prophesying of a future event to Israel. You know what He said? Look again. And shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? Do you realize that Israel might not be looking at the right God right now? They might not be looking for the right Messiah right now. They might not be following the right doctrine right now. They might be really confused. They might be very religious. But one of these days, soon, God's going to call His church out of here. The time of Jacob's trouble is going to take off at the time appointed unto Daniel's people, the Jews, that God is not finished with, by the way, because there's still a remnant that He's going to save in the tribulation time. And He's going to take His church out. He's going to allow the Antichrist to set up His kingdom for a short time. And the Antichrist is going to turn on Israel, try to destroy them. God is going to use His creation to protect them and keep them going, preserve them. And at the end, you know what they're going to be doing? Just what Jesus Christ said. They're not doing it now. They're really not. Some of them think they are. Some of them think they're crying out to God every night, every day. They got the wrong God. They're going to accept the wrong Messiah. But look what he says again. Let's read that again. And shall not God avenge His own elect, which cried day and night unto Him? Well, let me tell you something. When you get 3.5 years into the trip, years, you get 3.5 years here, right? 3.5 years into that tribulation, and the full-blown Antichrist turns on Israel and is trying to wipe them out. You know what the ones that are following the Lord are going to do? They're going to cry out to God day and night. You know what they're going to do? They're going to endure to the end, a lot of them. What's that mean? They're going to refuse to take the mark of the beast. They're going to refuse to bow down and worship the beast. They're going to refuse to follow Satan and his program. They're going to realize because of Isaiah chapter 53 and because of Jeremiah and because of Zechariah and because of Revelation in Hebrews and passages like this one in Luke, they're going to realize that they crucified their Messiah the first time. They're going to be looking for that coming Messiah. They're going to be looking for the second coming of Jesus Christ. They're going to cry out to God. And you know what He's going to do? He's going to get so full of their prayers that finally He's going to say, I'm coming back. The battle of Armageddon, He's going to cast the beast, the false prophet, into a lake of fire. He's going to bind the devil for 1,000 years, and He's going to rule and reign with a rod of iron on the throne of David. Then He's going to loose the devil for a season. The devil's going to go around the four corners of the earth. He's going to get the nations together against Jerusalem and against God's holy people and His holy city, and God's going to send down fire from heaven and devour them. And Jesus Christ is talking about that day at the end of the tribulation time when the Jews are crying. The remnant's crying out to God, and they're doing it religiously, if you will, regularly, day and night. He says, the unjust judge hears this woman and does the right thing. Don't you think the just judge is going to do the right thing? Don't you think the just judge is going to do the right thing? I just can't quit thinking about those souls under the altar in Revelation when they're crying along, how long, Lord, before you avenge us? You know what he says? Basically, he tells them it ain't going to be long. He said, until your brothers go the same way you went. He's waiting for all the martyrs. He's waiting for the right time, and he's going to do it in his perfect timing. How long, Lord? How long till you call us out of this dumpster? Amen? Well, God's going to do it in his perfect timing. We don't look at time the way God does. Amen? We think we got it figured out. You know, we can look at creation and we can figure out the rapture is going to be next Thursday at 4:15 p.m. And if the calendar's off by, you know, we'll look at the sundial and we'll figure maybe it's 3:15, maybe it's 5:15, but we're close. We think we can figure it out. But you know what? God knows exactly when he's coming back. Amen? I'm like you. I hope it's soon. I may even hope it's sooner than you do. I don't know. But he's going to do it the right time, the right way. He's saying, hear the unjust judge. If the unjust judge can be seen doing the right thing, don't you think the just judge is going to do the right thing? So see, all these people that say God has replaced Israel with the church, they're saying God is unjust. Whether they realize it or not. You know how I get to that point? Because God gave them eternal promises about a kingdom and a land that were unconditional. Israel had some conditional promises. They messed some things up. But they had they have an unconditional land grant, and they have an unconditional promise that Jesus Christ will rule and reign on the throne of David. If an unjust judge can do the right thing, don't you think God's going to do the right thing? He's going to keep his word. I'm glad of that, amen. I'm glad God is not a man. God is not a man that he should lie. Praise the Lord. Because God is not a man, I can rest assured that he's going to call us out of here one day. I can rest assured that I'll be with Jesus Christ forever one day. I mean, he's already in me. I'm in him at the right hand of the Father, spiritually speaking. If you're saved today, it's the same thing for you. He indwells you, you indwell him, and he's already at the right hand of the Father in heaven. I mean, you can't get any more saved than that if you tried to, amen. Born again. I'm glad I'm born again. The first birth was I'm not knocking my mom and dad. I'm just saying it's the truth. The first birth is a mess. You're born with the image of Adam, a fallen state, and you need a second birth, and Jesus Christ died, buried, rose again. He shed his blood so you could have that second birth, that new birth, be born into the family of God, and then you're in. Praise the Lord. We see the court, we see the call, we see the continuation of that call, the command to hear, the comparison, and then the cry of Israel. They will cry out day and night. And they'll cry out to the right God, looking for the right Messiah, and he'll come back. And you know what Jesus Christ wants? He wants people to want him. That's what he wants. Amen. You know what man wants? Man wants people to want him. Amen? But man messes it all up, and they decide weird ways to get people to supposedly want him. What people want because of my money, what people want because of my power, what people want me because of this or that or the other. Jesus Christ wants people to want him because he is good. It's that simple. It's that simple. And Israel will come to a point where they relinquish and reject their own righteousness and turn to the righteousness of God, which is Jesus Christ. And they'll want him. They didn't want him the first time. But they will. And because of their cry and because of God's mercy, he will come back and avenge them. That's what this is about. I don't have a Southern Baptist bone in my body. It's not talking about the church here. We can practically apply that to the church and say he's coming back to get us in the rapture. Praise the Lord. But he's talking to Israel, and this will happen. The stage, the scene, not stage, I hate to say stage, but the scene is being set. It's being set for a soon departure for the church. And we're not looking for the Antichrist, though we can see it setting up for him. We're looking for Jesus Christ. He's coming back soon. He's coming back soon. How do I know that? Because he's the righteous judge. And he gave me his word. If the unrighteous judge did the right thing, don't you think the righteous judge is going to do the right thing? How about this? How about we're at the nursing home at 1 o'clock? We sing a few songs. They turn their hearing aids down because I'm singing. Right? And then we get to Amazing Grace, and we're praising God. And we're out of here. I'll vote for that. But you know, if he doesn't do it, he's going to do it right anyway. If he did it my way, there'd be a lot of people going to hell that weren't going to go to heaven, or were headed to heaven later, because I'd have had him take us out of here a long time ago. But he knows. He knows. And if the unjust judge can do the right thing, surely the just judge will do the right thing. I say that to say this also. Don't let the devil talk you out of your eternal security and your salvation. Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection was the complete payment. Complete. Paid in full. Because it wasn't bought with silver and gold. It was bought with the precious blood of Christ, according to Peter, according to the Bible, according to the Old Testament picture and the type and the Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb. John the Baptist, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Can you imagine? I'm glad John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which temporarily covereth the sin of some people." That'd be a lose-your-salvation Calvinism. You know what John said? "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Because the sin of the entire world for eternity was taken away on Calvary. And it's up to you or not whether you accept it. So what's the deal with that? Well, he's already taken your sin to hell and dropped it off. Will you accept his righteousness? That's where people get caught up. They get caught up in their own righteousness. And the Bible says all of our righteousnesses are filthy rags. There's none righteous, no, not one. Israel going about to seek to establish their own righteousness and rejecting the righteousness of God talks about that. And, you know, we get people all the time that they just want a little Jesus, but they want to be good enough to get to heaven on their own. They want to talk about Jesus, so they can be part of the club. You can be part of the club and die and go to hell. You've got to be born again. You have to accept the payment. It was paid in full. "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption." Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit of promise, which seals you. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Let's go back. We'll do it again. "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So if you call on Jesus Christ, he gives you everlasting life. How long does that last? It lasts till he gets you to heaven and keeps you there. Amen? It's everlasting. "My sheep hear my voice, and they shall never perish." That's forever. It's forever. So what if we live wrong? Then you'll suffer loss at the judgment seat of Christ, and you'll be miserable for it. And then he'll wipe away the tears, and you'll be all right. You just won't have anything to lay back at his feet. I'm not saying that like that's not a big thing because he's worthy. But I'm saying that because you're still saved. Amen? It's like, are you going in the luggage department, or are you going first class? You're going. Your ticket's there. You're on the plane. Are you riding with the luggage? You're riding first class. I'll get stuck with somebody's service dog next to me probably. Amen? A rapture. Somebody have a big old deep-fried piece of bacon and a service dog, and I'll be right beside them looking at that bacon. But that's the way it is. You're going first class, or you're riding in the luggage department. You're going. If you're saved, you're going. I know. You can show me 10 preachers and tell you can lose it, and they make me want to lose it too. But I can show you a Bible that says you're saved, you're sealed, you're set apart for a purpose. And if God gave you those words, don't you think, as the just judge, he'll keep them? How about this one? You hear a lot of people say, well, there'll be no tears in heaven. That's not what the Bible says. That Bible's talking about him wiping away tears in heaven. He'll wipe away all tears. You believe that? They'll all be gone forever. And that was written by the just judge. The righteous judge. Here we are. We're here for a little window of time, and we're given an opportunity to show the world we love Jesus Christ. I gave a tract to a guy the other day, and he kind of started taking it, and then he pushed it back, and he goes, "Well," and something, and I said, "Well, hey, I'm saved not because of me. I'm saved because God's good and Jesus Christ is good." And he said, "Well, good for you, but you know they're going to outlaw that. They're going to start putting people in jail for that." And I'm like, "They're not going to outlaw getting saved." You can still get saved. You might go to jail for preaching about Jesus, but you can still get saved. Ain't no way can stop that. Amen? Even Joe Biden can't stop that with an ink pen. Amen? And Donald Trump can't make it happen. It's up to you. It's up to you. But we've got the court, we've got the call, we've got the continual cry, we have the command to hear. Hear about the unjust judge. He says, if the unjust judge does right, don't you think the just judge is going to do right? You got people questioning God all the time. What if, why, this, that, or the other. And God is saying, I'm God. Don't you understand who I am? I'm not the butcher down at the store that cut the slab of meat wrong. I'm not the guy down there that washed your car and didn't get the bugs off the grill. I'm not the guy that cut your hair and left the mohawk funny thing in the middle by accident. You got to wait for it to grow out. Women, don't do that. That's just terrible. A man's hair could be straightened out in a week or two. A woman, they'll suffer that thing, and they will be embarrassed for months if they get a bad haircut. But, you know, I'm not that guy. God said, I'm God. I'm the one that, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. That's who I am. You can trust me. That's what he's saying to people. People all over the world are like, man, I don't know, you know. And Jesus Christ says, don't you think that the God of the universe, the only righteous being that ever existed, completely righteous, don't you think he's going to do right? He's going to do right. Look at verse 8. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Well, look at that right there, when the Son of Man cometh. The Son of Man's on the earth saying this. Right? So what's he talking about? He's talking about the second coming. And the only way it can apply to the church, if the church is still here, I got a Bible, the church isn't going to be here. If you're really saved, you're leaving this place. And unless you really like this dumpster, you need to get saved, amen, because he could come back any second. What if? What if? What if he come back tomorrow at 11 o'clock in the morning? Would you be, I know some of y'all are retired, but if you work, would you be at work listening to dirty jokes, laughing at them? Would you be at work telling them? I've been saved long enough to know that happens. Blood-bought, born-again people. I've seen people do all kinds of stuff at the church and go out and just live like the devil, worse than most of the lost people. And then go to church on Sunday morning and straighten everything out and say, look at me. So what if? What if he come back at 11 o'clock in the morning? Would you be in the will of God tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock? What if he come back tonight? What if he come back tonight? Would you be guilty of not praying all day today, not reading your Bible all day today? I went to preacher, gave me all I need. Good luck with that. I know your preacher. You ain't going to get what you need from me. You get what you need from God, from reading your own Bible. Amen. But if he come back tonight, would he be able to say, well done, a good and faithful servant here. You read my book today. You smiled about this. You shed a tear over that. You prayed about this. And then you read some more. What if he come back tonight? Would he come back and go, what's this? Oh, it is a Bible. Huh. Never seen a cover quite like that. You shave that thing and read it. Amen. What if he come back this afternoon? What if he come back this afternoon? You didn't pray, you just went and had a big glutton fest over at Golden Corral. The bacon's not there after 11, so don't rush over there. You went over and had a big glutton fest, didn't pray, you didn't tell anybody about the Lord, and he shows up, calls you out, and the next thing you know, oh, good night. I forgot about the Lord, and here he is. What if you come back? What if you come back now? What if you come back right now? What's in your heart? What's in your life that he would be pleased with? See, he's coming back. He's coming back, and it could be now. It might be this afternoon. It might be tonight. It might be 11 o'clock in the morning. This isn't the lottery, people. I'm not betting on April 8th. But I am promising you this. He could come back today. What if he did? What if he come back as soon as you got in your car, you're driving down the road? You left church, the Holy Spirit was all over you, and you knew you had some wickedness you need to get out of you, and you just refused to bow your head and ask the Lord to forgive you and get it under the blood of Jesus Christ, and he calls you. He calls us out of here, you're driving down the road, and he's like, and you're, good night, Lord, I'm so embarrassed. What if? Don't miss an opportunity to be right with God. Maybe you haven't been right with God 3 weeks. Maybe you've been out of his will for 3 hours. I don't know. But what if he comes back? Are you ready? I'm not talking about eternal security. I'm talking about, are you ready to stand before God and say, Lord, I'm clean. I was doing what you called me to do. You got me. I was actually having a good day for you when you got me. What if he comes back? What if you walk out the door and lightning strikes you right between the eyes? You're smoking out the parking lot. Not like the Southern Baptist, but I mean, or the Methodist, but I mean, you're smoking out the parking lot from a lightning strike. Amen. Would you be with the Lord? Are you saved? Been born again? What if you get out of here and you drive down the road and some bozo, he hadn't slept in 3 weeks, and he's driving a semi down there. He's had four of them energy drinks and 15 hits of speed, and he sees the stop sign, T-bones your car, and a semi loaded down 80,000 pounds pushes you about three blocks, and you go on into eternity. Would you be with the Lord? I can't give you that promise. That's between you and the Lord. I'm asking you. These things are written to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. Are you saved? I talked to a guy yesterday. Did he save? I said, you know, sure you're going to hell? I hope so. I go to church. I do this, do that, do the other. I said, but are you saved? He goes, well, yeah, I think so. I said, if you call on Jesus Christ, trust him as your Lord and Savior. He said, yeah. I said, well, you're saved whether you like it or not then. Hand him a tract. I said, read that. Make sure. Are you saved? I'm not asking you for baptismal records. I'm not asking you when you were confirmed. I'm not asking if you belong to every church in Preble County. I'm asking if you belong to Jesus Christ. What if he comes back? What if he calls the church out and you realize, oops, you're going into the tribulation. You're going to be under the rule of the Antichrist. It's going to be real. You're going to have to make a decision to not follow the wrong Christ. To not take the mark of the beast, and very likely martyr yourself for it. Well, if you come back today, are you ready? I don't like that preacher. He never tells me nice, sweet things. I'm telling you a sweet thing. You can be ready. I mean, you can be ready right now. Matter of fact, here in a moment, we're going to pray. We're going to bow our heads in prayer. And if you've never asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you and save you, I'm begging you to do that today. So, well, that all church is about? Well, that's a good place to start. You're saved. If you're not, and you have an opportunity to get right with God. I mean, you could walk out of this building. You laid everything, all of your sins at the feet of Jesus Christ, got them under the blood. You can walk out of this building a renewed creature. But Lord, you just took all the burden away. You get in your car and go home. Say, Lord, if that semi comes, if that lightning comes, if the rapture comes, I'm ready. What if? What if he comes back today? It's about nice close for just a minute. Nobody looking around. Please, please, nobody look around. I won't call anybody out. I just want to ask you a couple questions. And I'm not trying to put pressure on you to make a decision. I'm going to tell you that if the Holy Spirit of God's worked on your heart and you're not saved, you need to get saved. Won't you call out to him today and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I believe you died, was buried, and rose again. Please forgive me and save me. I know you did it for me. I know it was personal. Please forgive me and save me. Call on him. Oh, Lord, I've been trying to follow you, but I've never really been saved. Please forgive me and save me. Cry out to him. It's got a nice boat. Don't let the devil steal this chance from you. Say, Lord, I've been faithful going to a church, but I've never really been born again. Would you forgive me and save me? I'm going to trust you and you alone. Personally. Maybe you're here today and you're struggling with the flesh. You need to lay your sin debt down to feet of Jesus, get it under the blood, and you can walk out of this building knowing you're right with God. Whatever it is. Forget everybody else, everything else. Just get right with God. So sun will be a lot brighter when your sins are gone. You're in the will of God.